This morning, I don't want to preach pastor's sermon. Today is Resurrection Sunday, and most of the time, pastors want to focus on the resurrection. But I want us to look at the topic of forgiveness this morning. And we are picking our text from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Let me start reading from 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Father, we want to thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. This morning, even as we focus on your word, I pray that we shall receive healing spiritually, emotionally, and physically, according to your own will. So bless your words to our heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm looking at the subject of forgiveness, and here on the cross, the first thing Christ said when he had been brutally murdered and hung on that tree was a prayer. Instead of cursing those who were harming him, he rather prayed for them, and he prayed that the Lord God would forgive them because they did not know what they were doing. These people had arrested Christ in the night. They've tortured him throughout the night. They spat upon him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. Did they not know what they were doing? They meant to harm him. And they did everything they could to hurt him. They were going to kill him, but they were going to make him suffer before he died, hence the crucifixion. But the Lord was saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." It means that what these people did to Christ, it didn't have any negative effect upon him. His spirit was intact. His love was still abounding towards them. Hence, he could pray, "Father, forgive them." I want us to look at the subject of the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. And I believe that Christ really demonstrated that power. And we have the capacity to have that power within us to forgive. But many times we find it very, very difficult to do so. I trust as we look at this subject, we will reflect more and learn to be like our Savior. First, I want you to note with me that forgiveness has the power to heal. The power of healing is in forgiveness. First, there is spiritual healing. Now, when you look at Matthew chapter 6, in the Lord's Prayer, especially verses 14 and 15, the Lord was telling the disciples that if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father would also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will also not forgive you. And so if somebody offends me, and then I have a grudge, and I'm not willing to forgive, spiritually, I'm sick. There is a problem between me and my God. And so spiritually, you are not well. You can sink into bitterness, and it will poison the very air around you. You'll be taking it on people who have not done anything to you at all. So spiritually, you are in trouble when you are not willing to forgive. So when people forgive, God also forgives. And so there is a spiritual healing, that your relationship with the Heavenly Father is mended. But Christ says, if you are not willing to forgive, then he also holds it against you. And so spiritually, then you have a problem. And then also we can say that there is a physical healing. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, James said, confess your sins one to another and pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. You know, when somebody offends you and you are not willing to forgive, apart from having trouble with God, it also affects you physically. You are always angry inside, and you are longing for revenge. And often, you may not even have that chance for revenge. If you succeeded and you revenge that person, it still will not bring you the happiness that you think you are going to get. And so when you meet that person, maybe today you have forgotten about the person, and you are walking, and you are happy, you are thinking about nice things, then all of a sudden you come face to face with a person, your smile goes, you freeze in whatever you are doing, and your stomach gets tight up in knots, and your heart begins to beat fast. What is happening to you? You are physically sick. Your blood pressure is going up. You are developing ulcer in your stomach. And so bitterness, unwillingness to forgive, actually puts you who have been offended in deeper trouble. You are physically sick. You are spiritually sick. And the only thing that will bring healing for you is for you to learn to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ could not be bothered. His relationship with his Father stayed intact. His love and compassion for humankind stayed intact. And so he could pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you have a problem with bitterness, with anger, you have not only a problem with God, but you have a problem with your own very self. You are doing a great harm to yourself. Why don't you forgive that person and get your healing and let God deal with the person? You know, because you say, well, he hasn't apologized. Those people standing at the cross there, nobody apologized to him. They did what they did without apology. He said, hey, if you are the Son of God, come down. They kept mocking him even on the cross. But the Lord was still able to say, Father, forgive them. So whatever agony, whatever pain he was suffering was not because of what those people were doing to him, but the fact that he was carrying the sin of the whole world upon his shoulders. That was a grievous thing that he was going through. But those people, he said, they don't know. They don't know what they are doing, so Father, forgive them. And so forgiveness brings spiritual healing, it brings physical healing, and then also it brings social healing. You can think about Joseph and his brothers. They envied him and they sold him. He had dreamt that one day he would be a ruler, but they condemned him to be a slave. You want to be a ruler over us? They will say, over our dead body, you are the youngest one. Only, you are older only than Benjamin. And you want to be the ruler over all of us? So when they got the opportunity, they sold him. Their own brother, they sold him. But it didn't have any effect upon Joseph. The Bible says the Lord was with him. The fact that the Lord was with him showed that he was holding no bitterness against his brothers. He believed that all things worked together for good. He could not understand what was happening, but he believed in his heart that God, one way or the other, was going to work things out for his good. Then in the house of Potiphar, he was falsely accused and misjudged, call it a miscarriage of justice. He defended the honor of his master, but he was not rewarded for it. Rather, he was put in prison. But the Bible says, but the Lord was with him. It means he forgave. He said, well, Lord, I don't know what you are doing, but I know you are going to lead me somewhere. You gave me those dreams, and I believe you would bring those dreams to pass. Why am I able to say this? Because of what he told the brothers in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. He said, as for you, you thought you were doing me evil, but God meant it for good. Now, it doesn't mean that if you offend somebody and you are not willing to apologize and something good happens, you have an excuse. You have no excuse. The brothers had no excuse for selling their own brother. Mrs. Potiphar had no excuse tempting this guy and falsely accusing him. Potiphar had no excuse for not looking into the matter by just throwing his most faithful servant into prison. They had no excuse. But the Bible says he works all things out for the good of those who love him. Those who are the called according to his purpose. And God used all these wicked things they did to him to bring something good out. So the day they came face to face with Joseph, and the truth came out, they thought, we are done. The guy is now ruling. Second in command in Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth at the time. He said, we are done. Now Joseph is really going to hate us. He's really going to pay us back. Then Joseph comforted them. Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. He said, I'm not in the place of God. You thought you were doing me evil, but God meant it for good. We didn't hear him say, Father, forgive, Father, forgive, Father, forgive. But we kept hearing every time something went wrong, but the Lord was with Joseph. It meant he never allowed any of those things to come between him and his God. He kept trusting God, that God knew what he was doing, and at the end of the day, something good was going to come out of it. I don't know what somebody may have done against you. Yes, they did it deliberately. But you can look on the cross and hear your master say, Father, forgive them. And you too pray, help me, Lord, to forgive, just like you have also forgiven me. If not, spiritually, you have a problem. You know, the Apostle Peter told husbands that if we are bitter against our wives, our prayers would not be heard. So, if you have bitterness against anybody and you are praying, the Bible says your prayers would not be heard. you have a problem with God. Spiritually, you have a problem. And physically, you have a problem. You have to deal with it. It will reduce all the medication maybe you are taking. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say anybody here with ulcer has some bitterness in his or her heart, but it will hasten it. It will make it worse if you allow bitterness also to become part and parcel of your life. So sometimes you are there with your husband, you are there with your wife, something happens and you clench your fist and you want to strike, look up to the cross and hear him say, "Father, forgive," and keep that blow right there in your pocket. Don't bring it out. Maybe you want to say something very saucy, sharp, look on the cross. Everything that was done to Christ was done with deliberation. They did it with calculation to hurt him. But he was able to say, "Father, forgive." There is the power of healing and forgiveness. Secondly, there is a power of transformation in forgiveness. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." How did that happen? Because we were forgiven on the cross. But for God's forgiveness, you and I will not be here. When we receive forgiveness from God, our lives are transformed. When we learn to forgive others, our life is still being transformed. We are conforming unto the image of Christ, he who hung on the cross for the sins of mankind, but still prayed for God to forgive those who were hurting him. And so forgiveness brings transformation. Listen, after Joseph's brothers reckoned that they were forgiven, their relationship was transformed. There was no more fear. Now they could walk to Joseph with confidence. There was nobody's stomach being tied up in knots. They could just lift up their voice and glorify God for allowing this to happen. Remember the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And which one does he mention for? "He who forgives all your iniquities." Now, David knew what it meant to be forgiven and what transformation that brought in his life. When as a king, he sinned against his God by taking Uriah's wife. And then working so hard to cover that sin caused Uriah to be killed in battle. And to cap it all, he went and took the woman and she became his wife. He's done very well. As far as human beings were concerned, he's been able to sin against his faithful soldier, gotten him killed and taken over his wife, and nobody heard anything about it, but God did. And so God sends Prophet Nathan to go and confront him. And the man was so wise. Kings can turn into tyrants overnight when their sin is being exposed. So he went and told this nice story of a rich man who got visitors, and he left all his cattle, all his sheep, all his goats, and he seized the one kid, one goat of his neighbor, and slaughtered it for a party. And David sat there and said, "That man must die, and he shall pay fourfold." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." "Me? I've not taken anybody's goat." You've taken more than a goat. You've taken somebody's wife. You've killed him with the sword of the Philistines. God said, if you wanted more wives, why did you not tell me? I could have given you. And David said, I have sinned. He surrendered right there. And Prophet Nathan could have called in the guards and brought out his crime. Maybe they could have taken him out and summarily stoned him to death. But God knew the heart of David. And so the moment the confession of sin came, God said, your sin is pardoned. I've pardoned your iniquity. I've removed it as far as the east is from the west. And so this man, David, his life was transformed from that point for good. He remained very humble to the very end of his life. Because when at a point God started chastising him for what he had done, and he was still the king, and somebody was insulting him, and one of his servants said, my lord, give the order and let me take off this man's head. He said, no, let him curse. Let him curse me. I deserve to be cursed. Who knows? Maybe God would turn his cursing into a blessing. This man's life was transformed. He became very humble to the very end. And the Bible is very clear. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you have trusted the Lord and you have received forgiveness from him and your life is still the same, there is something wrong with you. If you are bearing that grudge inside you and you are able to go to sleep in peace, I wonder, are you sure you know him? His spirit will not allow you to sleep in peace when you have all that grudge inside you. There's something wrong. Because when we receive forgiveness from God, it transforms our lives. And as we learn to forgive others, our life is still being transformed. We are conforming unto the image of Christ. And as people receive forgiveness from us, then the relationship is also transformed. Now you are no more enemies. You are friends. And sometimes the friendship becomes even stronger than before. There is a power of transformation in forgiveness. Thirdly, forgiveness brings conviction. When you learn to forgive people, you bring them under conviction. Now you can look at this in the book of Acts, where Stephen was being stoned. Acts 7, 8, 9. The story is over there. Stephen was being stoned because of preaching the gospel. The Bible says, before he died, he prayed for those who were stoning him. And Saul of Tarsus was there. He heard it. The man was preaching and telling his people that you have been stiff-necked like your fathers all this time. How long are you going to remain stiff-necked? This is the Messiah, the one that the prophet foretold. He's come and he's died, he's resurrected. And then they were saying, this guy is a heretic. I think the Lord knew Stephen was going to be killed. He was going to be the first man to die for his faith as a Christian. And so he opened the heavens windows to strengthen Stephen. And so the man lifted up his eyes and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of God standing on the right hand of God. They look up, they don't see anything. He's a witch. He's a heretic. Kill him. And so they brought stones, and Saul was standing there and said, bring me your gowns. Let me keep them for you and finish him off. But the man prayed and said, Lord, lay this not to their charge. Saul heard it. And he thought, he's bluffing. Just finish him. And so Stephen was killed. He died. And after that, I don't believe Saul was able to get that sin off his mind. Now, he remained tough on the outward. He still went to the chief priests. They gave him letters of introduction, empowering him to go to other places and bring more Christians to be killed if necessary. But he couldn't get that thing off his mind. He prayed for us. How could he? How could he pray for us when we were killing him? And he said he saw the heavens opened. Did he really see the Son of God? But that was strange that he would pray for us. No, it can't be true. He was just bluffing. We are going to bring these men. We are going to silence them. We will do everything we can to stop this heresy from spreading. And so Saul was outwardly strong, going out, trying to get others, but he was under conviction. Sometimes you meet people, they hurt you, and you don't react, and then they act strong, and they are so arrogant. Don't mind them. They are under conviction. It is a matter of time. But when you learn to forgive people, you bring them under conviction. You confuse them. They keep wondering, why didn't he reply? Why didn't she talk back? You bring them under a very deep conviction. Now, Saul was still fighting against that conviction. But then on the road to Damascus, the Lord opened heavens again and he saw him. The light that came from his face struck him and made him blind. He was on the ground and he heard that voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why art thou persecuting me?" And what was his question? "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, is it the Lord? Are you the one Stephen talked about? I said a man was under conviction. Even though he wasn't showing it, he was under conviction. Anytime people harm you, they hurt you, say, well, they didn't apologize, you let them go. You keep them under conviction. A guy was torturing a fellow Christian. Every opportunity he got, he would either strike or say some foul things against him. And the other guy just said, why is he behaving like this? I won't mind him. Hey, don't talk to me again, you dog. The following day, the man would see him. Hello, brother, how are you? I told you not to talk to me again. I don't talk to dogs. Oh, boy. And I'm a dog and I can talk to you. Good morning. He walk away. The next time he will meet him. Hi, my friends. You are still calling me your friend after all I said to you? Don't call my name. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Calm down, calm down. He walks away. Well, one day, he was sitting down. He saw this guy coming with another friend. And he was in tears. And he said, What is wrong? Then he asked the other man to speak for him, said, well, your friend has come to apologize to you. He said, for many months, he has just treated you with contempt. He has insulted you. He has physically attacked you. You have never reacted. And what shocks him is that every time you meet him, you greet him as if he has not done anything to you. He said, every time you've done that and he's gone to bed, he just could not sleep. And he feels that he must get rid of that bitterness inside him. So then he asks his friend, but what have I done to you? I've been wondering why you've been behaving like this. You know what he said? Envy. My brother, envy. I've just been full of envy since A, B, C, and D happened in your favor. I just couldn't handle it. I said, oh. So all this time, I thought you were punishing me. See, he said, I was punishing myself. I've had many sleepless nights. Well, I know what I'm talking about because I was the one who was being persecuted like that. And that guy was my classmate. And we were in Bible school. And I said, brother, I always go on my knees and I pray for you. I've asked God to help me not to be bitter against you, and he's helped me. That's why I'm able to meet you and say, hello, good morning. So that day, I prayed with him. And we embraced each other. After many years, when I got married, and I was in Accra, this guy was in the north. He traveled all the way from the north to come and apologize to my wife for what he did to me when we were on campus. I said, but we've dealt with this. He said, it still haunts me. I said, when you learn to forgive people, you bring them under conviction. They may not show it, they may not repent, but then that brings me to the next point. Number four, forgiveness can also bring condemnation. You know, Christ prayed, Father, forgive them. Judas could not benefit from that, you know, because forgiveness will come divinely when there is repentance. God gives us opportunity to repent. The brothers of Joseph had the opportunity and they repented. You know, David had the opportunity, he repented. But sometimes there are people who may get all the opportunity and they will not repent. And they are under conviction, but they will not yield. And so he said, then what should I do? Should I also strike back? No, Christ says, forgive 70 times 7. Can you be counting like that? Yeah, just forgive. Let them go. And so if somebody has hurt you and you've been trying to mend with the person is refusing, at a certain point, just let him be. But don't let that bitterness stay in your heart. And when you do that, then God himself brings that person under condemnation. That is why two men betrayed Christ the same night. The one became a powerful preacher for Christ, and the other went and hung himself. One came to receive forgiveness, the other did not. You know, Judas did not wait to see the resurrection. When he saw Christ was being crucified, he was convinced in his heart that he was not the Messiah. Because he was a zealot, and he knows that the Messiah was to come to put an end to all earthly rule, set up the kingdom in Jerusalem, and rule as King of Kings. He forgot to see the cross. And when he saw it, he did not understand. He went and told the people, I have betrayed innocent blood. I said, what does it mean, innocent blood? He meant that he thought this man was a Messiah, and in his heart, he was going to sell the Messiah, and the people will come, and the Messiah would not allow them to arrest him. He stood back there waiting to see Christ strike. He would have come for and said, Master, I deliberately did it so that you do your something, so you bring your power to bear. But Christ stood there, he was arrested. He said, what? And they slapped him. What? And then they tied him up. And they started leading him away. Judas. All these years, I thought I was following the Messiah. He's not the one. He's not the one. No. The Messiah cannot be arrested. The Messiah has more power than Rome. Oh, boy. And so to him, he betrayed somebody who was not the Messiah. That is my understanding of that man coming to say, I betrayed innocent blood, because he knew he's walked with Christ for 3 years and he knew he has not done anything wrong. But he knew those people wanted him, and he thought, if he is a Messiah, this is it. I'm going to give him up and he will scatter all these people. And oh, I'll become the secretary for the treasure. I'll keep stealing some more money, even in the kingdom. Judas did not have a repentant heart. And so the prayers of Christ did not have any effect upon him. The Bible says he died and went to his own place. He was the son of perdition. But Simon Peter betrayed him 3 times. But the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He repented in his heart what he had done. Peter believed, notwithstanding all that they were doing to Christ. He believed that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He believed that with all his heart. And he said, but I have betrayed him. I could not fight for him. Then came the resurrection. And the Lord sent a message to the disciples. He said, tell my disciples and Simon that they will meet me in Galilee. So one came to receive forgiveness, but the other went under condemnation. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, and you can be thankful that that is there, because sometimes with some people, it becomes impossible. No matter what you do, they will not accept you. They will not get reconciled unto you. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. And so there you have it. Now, you are willing to forgive this person, and you've done it in your heart. You have extended, as we would say, the olive branch. It has been turned down. You've done everything in your power to get reconciled to this person who is harming you, but the person is not willing. And say, well, you forgive him and let it go. The Bible says, as you do so, you shall be heaping coals of fire on his head. So instead of you getting the ulcer, instead of you getting the high blood pressure, let it go to him by forgiving him. Now, if he would accept forgiveness, then God will heal him too. But if he wouldn't, then he waits for nothing but God's own judgment. God says vengeance belongs to him. And so somebody may have hurt you so bad, and because of Christ, you want to forgive this person. You want to get reconciled to this person. The person says no. The Bible says, don't allow his evil deed to overcome you. Don't allow that man to plant any seed of bitterness inside you. But rather, leave him in the hands of God. And God will know how to deal with him. You know the man who beheaded Peter? You know how he died? The Lord dealt with him. You know, after he killed James, he went for Peter because he was scoring a lot of political points. But God didn't allow him to kill Peter. God sent an angel to release Peter because he has some more work for him to do. Then this man at one point sat on his throne and his friends were treating him like he was God. They were saying, hey, he speaks with the voice of God. Then God said, enough. I've had enough of you. He sent one angel, he hit him, pat, one strike, and the man was sitting there, he was alive, but he started decomposing. Maggot started coming out of his body. That is how God destroyed a man who tried to kill the apostle Peter. God knows how to punish those who refuse to repent, who refuse to apologize, but don't allow them to leave you in the state of bitterness. The Bible says we should be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And so we have the power to forgive so that we can bring healing, so that we can bring transformation, so that we can bring conviction. But then if men under conviction would not repent, then God bring them under his condemnation. And all that can be achieved. So if somebody is hurting you and you really want him to be punished, leave him in the hands of God. And please, don't be like Jonah, preaching to the person but praying that he would not repent. God is merciful. If they repent, God will still forgive them. And God can transform their lives and bring honor and glory to his name as a result of that act. May God help us to conform unto his image as we learn to forgive others. I'm talking to a woman. The woman is saying, my husband is maltreating me. My husband. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, that I give to husbands and wives when they come to me with that complaint. I say, you get close to the Lord. The Bible says, if a man's way please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So get closer to God. Get closer to God. If God can make your enemies to be at peace with you, how much more your loved one? Get close to God and let God do that work for you. May God bless his way to our hearts this morning. Amen.